Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show, presented by Bud Light. Tonight's show is brought to you by
Frickers. For over 30 years, has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Bud Light. Where there's fun, there's a Bud Light there. Premier Health. Proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/UD. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers, helping fans stay comfortable all season long.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome to Frickers here on Woodman Drive, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Also, your home of the Anthony Grant Show Monday nights during Dayton basketball season. And while we're at Frickers, I see the big sign. It reminds me to remind you that when it comes time to do some holiday shopping, Frickers gift cards. For every $25 gift card you buy, you get a $5 gift card free. Now, you don't have to give that as a gift. You can keep that one for yourself, okay? But don't tell anyone I told you that, all right? Great place to come out, enjoy college basketball, enjoy pro football on Sundays, and college football as we head down the home stretch. So we're always glad to be out here at Frickers. We enjoy the folks here, enjoy the Flyer faithful who are with us here tonight. Brooks Hall. Former Dayton player and a guy who teams up on radio with me for the games and also is part of our post-game coverage as well at Flyer Feedback. But we're going to be talking to Brooks later on, but I'm not making him wear his analyst role tonight. We're going to talk about not Brooks Hall's take on this Dayton team. We're going to talk about Brooks Hall, the Dayton Flyer player, and then what's been going on since then. But we also got Coach Grant with us joining remotely on the phone tonight. And Coach Grant, welcome again back here to Frickers. And a couple of tough games last week. I know we would love to be talking about two losses, but we're not. We're talking about we'd like to be talking about wins, but we're talking about two losses, first to Lipscomb and then most recently to Austin Peay. But the process continues. As you said, after the game on Saturday, you're going to keep pounding the stone. And you guys have been going right back to work, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, Larry. And again, I apologize that I can't be there in person, and I appreciate everybody coming out to support. But yes, right now, we're disappointed with the results that we got last week. You know, I tell you the one thing that I am impressed with is these young men, they want to be good. They want to figure it out, you know. So we're going to continue to try to figure out ways that we can help this this process of us maturing and understanding what it takes to try to win in college basketball with the youth that we have. So, I think we had a good day today, and hopefully we learned from what we went through last week. And we've got to get prepared as we get ready to hit the road for the first time.
You know, looking at the guys after both games, and especially on Saturday, I could see the pain on their faces. And while I felt their pain, at the same time, you know, I guess as someone who cares about Dayton basketball, it was good to see them care that much. Is there any doubt in your mind that this is a group that cares?
Oh, no question. You know, and I don't think that's been in question at all, you know, throughout. I think this is a group that has to learn how to trust each other, you know, and we've got a bunch of guys that are in their first year or you know, second year of a COVID year of playing college basketball. Most of them are new to each other. They're new to our system. And they're new to college basketball and the understanding of what it takes to win at this level. It's like I said to them earlier today, you know, all of them come from programs where they were the best on their team, the best in their area, you know, and now they're playing with a bunch of guys that all had that label, you know, and now they got to figure out how the sum can become greater than their individual parts. And they've never been asked to do that before. And that's something that's going to be required every single night to give us a chance to win. And they've got to learn how to do that. You know, and that there's a process that goes through that on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively, understanding how to play your role and how to help everybody else play their role so that the team can ultimately be successful. And, you know, the beautiful thing about that, Larry, is when we figure that out, I think you'll see some of this individual talent that we have really start to shine, you know, but that's a work in progress that we've got to get to be able to put together 40 minutes of team basketball, where everybody's understanding their role and how they can help the team be successful.
when you look at those guys, and let's talk about roles and try to explain to them, you know, what, you know, who they are and what they can be as basketball players, I think the immediate reaction to someone listening is they say, okay, someone thinks they should be playing a larger role than they should, or a different role than they should. But are some of the guys maybe even capable more than that they realize they're capable of? And you and your staff are saying, hey, you can do this. Just go and do it.
Yeah, I think it's all of it. I think it's all the above. You know, I think the one thing, when guys talk about roles, most of the time you naturally start thinking about offense. You know, but I think it goes on the defensive end too, just in terms of guys understanding how hard they got to play, the rotations they need to be in, their ability to talk to each other and help each other have success, and how that can fuel what we want to do on the offensive end. And then on the offensive end, you're exactly right. You know, getting guys to understand, hey, I call it being great at what you're good at, you know, and understanding how to do that, and to get each other to understand this is what this individual does really well. And if we can help him do that really well, then that makes my job easier and helps me do what I do really well. You know, and we got to be able to do it together. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of both sides of that.
You know, a couple of guys that I'd like to single out for at least starting to understand how they can impact a college basketball game wearing a Dayton uniform. You know, obviously Malachi Smith has done some real nice things out there for you on the floor at both ends. And another guy who's just doing, I think, what he, you know, he's just taken his skill set and he is just doing it. And that's Mulai Sissoko.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I think, you know, Malachi got in foul trouble the other day, and that hurt us. You know, so some of his energy, he needs to learn how to temper that, because, you know, we need him on the floor. And he picked up 3 fouls there in the first half, one on the technical, and then, you know, fouled out, got limited minutes in the second half. And I think it impacted what we did. But I think you can see, you know, when he's out there, he makes a big difference for us. He does a really good job helping to run our team and get guys organized, and then defensively has an impact as well. And then I think Mo, you know, really the last 2 games, especially with the size and physicality that we've gone against, you know, you felt his presence out there. And it's great to see him understanding how he can impact this team and how he can impact the game just by trying to be great at what he's good at. And I think the last 2 games have shown him what he's capable of when he does that.
All right, Anthony Grant joining us here at Frickers on Woodman Drive for the Anthony Grant Show. Dayton coming off 4 games to open up the season with a 1-3 mark, now heading to Orlando tomorrow, in fact, for the ESPN Events Invitational in a first round game on Thanksgiving Day at noon against Miami. We'll talk more about that coming up with Coach Grant. But, you know, an opportunity not just to play, you know, 3 games against no doubt 3 quality opponents, but almost you know, it's a business retreat. I mean, you're going to have your team away from any distractions they would have on campus or with families, whatever, and you're together as a group for a 5-day period, almost 6-day period. How valuable is that going to be?
Yeah, it's always huge. You know, I think these tournaments are great this time of year because it helps the team understand each other a little bit better, and it helps my, you know, the coaches to understand their team better. And like you said, we're going to play against great competition. I think it's 3 games in 4 days and really good competition. So we'll find out a lot about ourselves, you know, over the next few days, and a chance to bond as a group. You know, like you said, we'll be amongst each other for the next week, you know, leaving tomorrow, coming back on Saturday. I think it's Saturday we come back. So, yeah, it'd be a great chance to bond and figure some things out.
All right. Coach Grant with us here, the Anthony Grant Show. We're going to be talking more to Coach Grant about the Orlando event coming up next week. Also, former Flyer Brooks Hall with us. We'll get you up to speed on his memories of his Dayton playing days, which were not that long ago. And then also what he's done as far as pro basketball and what life is like now for Brooks Hall, besides what you hear him do on the radio for us. We got a fun night ahead. We have a big night ahead. It's always great at Frickers here for the Anthony Grant Show. We are live at Frickers here on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive for the Anthony Grant Show. Larry Hanskin, along with former Flyer Brooks Hall, joining us for the show tonight. Coach Grant joining us remotely as Dayton will be heading to Orlando tomorrow, in fact, in the ESPN Events Invitational, which starts on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, at noon when the Flyers take on the Miami Hurricanes. And then, depending on the outcome of that game, there'll be a game on Friday, a day off Saturday, and then the final game in the event for the Flyers will take place at some point in time on Sunday. And, of course, we'll have all the games for you live right here on the home of the Flyers. Mentioned Brooks Hall with us here tonight. Coach Grant's on the phone. And, Brooks, did you have a question for Coach Grant?
I do. What's going on, Coach?
What's up? How are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. So I was at practice today, and I want to just a quick comment. Larry had asked about do the guys care, and I could tell you from an outsider, that did not look like a group of guys that don't care. I mean, the level of intensity at practice today was just through the roof. Guys weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They were competing, trying to make each other better. So I can agree and piggyback what you said. These young men care. They want to be good. But my question, when Flyer fans are asking, you know, what's going on with this team, I try to explain to them without getting too deep. You teach a pro-style system, offensively, defensively. What I mean by that, it's a lot of concepts, and you trust the IQ of the guys to kind of make the right reads, the right plays. And it's going to take time for young guys to kind of get that. How are you feeling about the progress? Because, you know, I know it's going to take some time, but are you feeling like they're starting to get it or you know, a little behind pace than what you were expecting them to be?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think what I'm finding is we have to adjust some of what we're doing, especially on the offensive end, from a personnel standpoint, you know, especially with the number of young guys that we have, try to put them in position where they can do what they do best. So, and I think every year you kind of go through that in terms of trying to figure out how to become the best version of yourself. So what I'm seeing at this stage is we'll have to tweak some things, but a lot of what we do is teaching them how to play basketball, teaching them how to be able to play off of each other's strengths. And that's going to take some time. But at the same time, my job and our staff's job is to try to put them in the best position where they can have success right now. So it's a combination of the two.
You know, Coach, these guys all came from, like you say, from winning programs, and they're used to winning. They're used to succeeding. And, you know, obviously when you lose games and you're not used to losing games, it can affect your confidence. How do you balance trying to keep these guys build up from a confidence standpoint, but yet at the same time saying, hey, you're still not playing well enough to get it done?
Yeah, you know, I try to keep it as simple as I can, Larry, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, we're honest with them in terms of, hey, here's what we're doing on both sides of the ball. Here we can get better. And here's what it'll take for us to have the success that we want to have, you know, and I don't think I haven't seen, you know, a confidence issue with our group in terms of because of the results that we've gotten, some of them, you know, beginning to lose confidence in themselves or the teammates or anything along those lines. I think it's just a matter of it's a young group that understands that, hey, we got to be better and we got to figure this thing out together. And they're willing to do that. They want to be good, you know, and I think it's just a matter of time before things click for us. I think a lot of it will be that what we talked about at the beginning, role acceptance and understanding of, you know, if I can play my role to a high level, then the sum will become greater than the individual parts, you know, and I think that's an adjustment for a lot of young kids, you know, to say, okay, maybe less is more, or I have to focus on being great at the things that I'm really good at. And if I can do that, then I'm helping my team be successful on both sides of the ball. So I think it's more that than anything else. We just got to figure it out. You know, like right now, a lot of emphasis is being put on some of the shooting woes that we're having. You know, I feel like this team, you asked me this the other day, can this team be a good shooting team? And I say, yeah. You know, I think once we start to get in our rhythm and guys playing to their strengths, and then the other part is, yeah, I see the ball go in. You know, and I think sometimes when you can have some success there, then it opens things up for you. And I think it kind of works hand in hand. You play a little bit better defensively, it helps you have more success offensively. And sometimes you play better offensively, shots fall, and it sparks your defense. So we just need to have some consistency and some continuity in terms of what we're doing.
Last week at this time, Zimi Wilkeji was coming off the concussion, was practicing, had not been cleared for contact yet. He's been able to suit up for your last couple of games and go through the pregame stuff. Has he been able to go full go in practice yet?
Yeah, he's. I think maybe in the last 3 or 4 days he's been back with us. And so now it's just a matter of him getting his rhythm and his timing and his conditioning back. You know, he missed a pretty significant amount of time in the preseason, you know, with, you know, as you mentioned, the concussion and then obviously some other things that kept him out, you know, minor things that were that kept him out for a little bit of time. So he's just got to get his rhythm back and his timing. But, you know, it's good, been good to have him back, and he's working towards that.
Let's touch briefly on that field that you've got down there in Orlando, and obviously you don't look past the first game you got, and that's Miami, a team out of the ACC, a power conference, if you will, but a team that's got a veteran coach. And what else have you had a chance yet to even start to dig into any type of scout on the Hurricanes?
Honestly, personally, I have not. My assistants that have the scouts, they've divided it up, and they know a lot more than I do. But you know, as you mentioned, you know, we got a. I have a played against Coach Larry Nega's teams when I was at VCU quite a bit when he was at Mason, and a lot of respect for him as a coach. And I know they've got some really talented guys. We'll start to dive into them a little bit more. I'll look at them tonight and starting tomorrow, and then we'll start to put together a game plan to get ready for Thursday.
Obviously, this week coming up is these are three challenges, but it also means that there are three opportunities. Is that how you're viewing it?
No question. That's exactly how we all have to view it. You know, certainly we know every game in front of us will be a challenge. You know, but that's a great opportunity in itself right there to see what we can do to try to put ourselves in position to have success to get the result we want. But probably as important, if not more important, is it's a chance for us to get better and grow as a team. You know, when you have as many young guys and new guys as we have, those experiences of playing 40 minutes, you know, and learning are invaluable. You know, and I think it'll help us as we approach, you know, going down here to Orlando, and as we get into the rest of the non-conference, preparing for conference play.
You know, a chance, and you know what, and it's a chance to play in the spotlight, and obviously it's an opportunity always to do that, the UD Arena with the sellout crowds we've had for all the games. But I think it's going to be it'll be a neat experience when, you know, we have, this is year all these firsts, you know, the guys, we had so many of these guys, almost everybody, I think, with the exception of Christian Wilson and Drew, that had not run out on the floor during a game, you know, with a full crowd there at the arena. Now these guys get to experience something else that's unique to Dayton basketball. They'll go on the road in a place that's, you know, thousands of miles away, and they'll look up in the stands and they'll see Flyer faithful. That'll be a good experience for those kids, won't it?
It'll be a new experience. Like you said, it's all these are all firsts, you know, for pretty much our whole roster. These are all firsts, you know. Larry, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have in terms of, you know, being involved in Dayton athletics and Dayton basketball. I guess I'd ask you, have you ever been a part of a group that have so many guys with their first experience of playing in front of 13,000, you know, at home games, and then, you know, going through that learning process of learning each other?
Now this is unprecedented, and you know what, we knew it was going to come with some learning pains, but I knew coming into this season, I was looking forward to literally watching a team grow up and seeing what happened, the unexpected. Am I happy so far? Well, no, I'm not. Who is? You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. They're
exactly.
Not. Nobody
exactly.
is. But
and
you know
so
what?
The reason I asked you that question, Larry, is to say that I have to remind myself as a coach that, you know, this is the process, right? When you have as many young guys as you do, you know, they want to be good. They want to represent this university, this program, in the manner that we're all accustomed to play for championships, right? And they're working as hard as they know how to try to make that happen. So myself and my staff, we have to do everything that we can to help try to expedite that process. But there's no way we can manufacture the experiences that we're going through, you know, playing these first four games that we did at home, and then now as we prepare to go away from home and face, you know, some pretty good competition. And I think every experience we're learning more and more about ourselves and what we need to do to try to be successful.
You know, Coach, like you say, I've been around a while, and I remember that a guy came in, was a three-year starter, captain as a senior. Freshman year, he barely sniffed the floor, but he sat and he watched, he learned. You know who I'm talking about?
I got an idea.
Anthony Grant. Hey, Coach, we're going to go ahead and let you go, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the plane tomorrow heading down to Orlando, okay?
I appreciate you guys. Go Flyers.
All right. That wraps up this portion of the Anthony Grant Show. As promised, Brooks Hall is with us here tonight, and we're not going to have Brooks analyze this year's Dayton team. We pay him to do that on other occasions. Now, we're going to talk more about Brooks and just his experiences wearing that Dayton uniform and the other uniforms he's worn since then and the other hats he's worn in the business world. That's all coming. It's the Anthony Grant Show, and we're live here at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive, your home of fun food, sports, and spirits, and a great place to do some holiday shopping. Frickers gift cards, you buy a $25 gift card, you get one, a $5 card for free. And you can give that to the person you're buying a gift card, or you can keep it to yourself. I don't care. You know, that's up to you. We're here tonight. The coach, for safety reasons, you know, not joining us here in person. We talked to him earlier this hour about, you know, the state of the team right now, and Brooks Hall is with us, and we're going to – I said I wanted to have you analyze anything, but you were at practice today, and you were impressed with just the intensity level.
Yeah, and I don't mind analyzing. I like talking Dayton basketball. So I went to practice today, and they were going so hard. That was the first thing I noticed. They were going – I go to at least a practice a week, and they were going so hard, and the energy was loud. But a couple things I noticed. One, I noticed the coaches, the entire staff – their intensity was turned up more than it's not that they're laid back, but you can just feel the sense of urgency that everybody has right now. Coaching staff was very animated and loud. The entire team, today was kind of a competition day. So, you know, station work, you know, drill work, red versus blue, and just watching them compete, and just the energy was high. And so what that told me, these guys are not okay with where they're at right now. They're not okay with being 1-3. They want to get better. They understand the importance of Dayton basketball being successful, and it's pretty cool to see that. Then I found out about halfway through, that was the second practice of the day. I didn't know that they'd had a two-a-day, so they went early from what I heard. That was pretty intense. You know, they went at like 5:30 this morning, and not knowing that they had already gone and seeing the level of intensity that they were practicing at, that was impressive. So I don't expect this to be the trend for the entire season. I know we're hearing skies falling from a lot of people. It's really not. These guys are going to be fine. They just have to learn how to play at this level, and I think they learned some tough lessons early.
All right. One of the features of the Anthony Grant Show, like Flyer Feedback following the game, is the Bud Light Mike, and Tom's no stranger to that. He's no stranger to you, Brooks. And Tom, step on up. What you got?
My guy.
Gentlemen, you know, the fans are always fickle, and, you know, the old saying, whether you win or not, we love you or not. To me, they played a whole lot better on Saturday. I saw light at the end of the tunnel, but it might be a little dim right now. But, you know, I got a lot of positiveness from Lynn Greer III. And Lynn Greer's, you know, probably, was he about 6'3 or 6'2 or something like that?
6'3, yeah.
But he's got a stronger body than a bunch of those guys. Unfortunately, the numbers that they print in the scorebooks for weights are probably 10 or 15, that's my opinion, 10 or 15 pounds high. And, you know, We're you just can't cure that overnight, and so they're going to get pushed around like they did. You know, the Lipscomb guy pushed him around and pushed Holmes around, and I think maybe the only recourse there is you got to send the guards to help them then. You got to bring the guards in to, you know, try to knock the ball away from the guy or do something to challenge the guy and make him make a good pass, you know. So, but I, you know, Anthony Grant's been through all this stuff before with a lot of places. Never with as many preponderance of freshmen that he's got now in young guys, but he will figure it out.
Yeah. No one's been dealing with this kind of and I'm not saying that Dayton is one of the younger teams in college basketball, but everyone is dealing with issues along these lines, and a lot of it's because of last year, which last year being such an outlier. So normal is still not quite there yet in college basketball, but I think this year is kind of maybe starting the road back to normalcy. Well, I wanted to talk about your days in a Dayton uniform, and lest people forget, you had four very productive years. And I was not talking about your stats. I'm talking about very productive years as far as wins and losses on the court and what Dayton basketball team was able to do going to the NCAA tournament. Being a four seed in the NCAA tournament when your senior year. What are you most proud of as a Dayton Flyer?
So I was a player that came out of Troy, and I was more concerned with winning and losing. And I just happened in high school to put up good stats, but that was by default because my priority always was winning. And so came to Dayton, and Coach Purnell and staff did a great job. We had really good teams and talent, but I was always going to do whatever I had to do to win. And if that meant scoring 20 tonight, cool, I can do that. But if it meant scoring 8 and helping shut down the other team's best player, I'm going to do that. Or 5 assists, it didn't matter. It was all about winning. And so I would like to think it rubbed off on guys around me. And then I had some really good teammates. You know, Waliskowski, I mean, he was an ultimate win guy. He was going to do whatever he had to do. And Ramad Marshall, and I'm throw some names out, you know, Sean Finn, and played with Tony Stanley, who was, you know, one of the better scorers in the history. I can go on and on. But, you know, the thing that I'm proudest of is I think that those 4 years kind of jump-started kind of where we are today in terms of kind of Dayton becoming more of a household name.
Well, being relevant again.
Being relevant, right. On a national level. Yeah. You know, we were we won 20-plus games those 4 years, and we got screwed out of we should have gone to the tournament 3 out of the 4 years. 1 year was that bubble year, my sophomore year. Had those big wins, beat out in Maui, went 2-1, came back. Anyway, thought we should have got in there, but regardless, that senior year was the big year where we were 4 seed, like you talked about. I think we won 24 games that year and got upset to Tulsa. That's a whole other show in itself. I can make all kinds of excuses for that, but we ended up getting upset out in Spokane, Washington. But I think being a 4 seed when Dayton really didn't, now you hear Dayton in the tournament. Okay, it's kind of – you're used to that. But back then, Dayton, and then to be a 4 seed was – so, yeah, that's the thing I'm proudest of. I know. I think I don't know what I had, 100 wins over 4 years or something like that. You know, it's just – you know, you can't take that away. So
you came in you're Mr. Basketball of the State of Ohio. You come in as a heralded freshman, and we've got heralded freshmen on this team.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first time that you felt – humbled, and did it even happen before you got on the floor in a game?
You know, it's funny you say that. So, yes, I'll give you a couple. There were many times throughout that year that I got humbled, but I came in humble. Like, I just kind of – that's how I was raised, you know. So, there were no expectations. It makes me uncomfortable to even talk about the accolades. I just – whenever people would talk to me, I didn't even like talking about the accolades, even to this day. When people talk about you're this or that, yeah, okay, but want to move on. But so no, in a sense, I didn't come in with a big head in my mind. But yeah, I got humbled quickly several times in practice. Yante Holland, and I don't know if you remember him. I'm sorry, I knew you would remember him, but our listening audience, Yante Holland had legs the size of the straw, but he was upper body, was built like a bodybuilder. Just and he challenged me my freshman year. I thought he was going to beat me up. I mean, for no reason. But what I learned later, he was seeing, can I go to war with you? Are you going to back down? Because I didn't back down. And so that was the first time I got humbled kind of within my team. The next time I got humbled was Xavier. And I got a real good taste of what that Dayton-Xavier rivalry was like. People, you know, the younger crowd, they have no idea what that Dayton-Xavier rivalry was like. You know, now that Dayton-Xavier's not in the league. But we were at home freshman year, and I'm running point guard, and, you know, 13,000 people. And I brought the ball up, and I don't remember who stole the ball from me. But he stole the ball at half court, went down, and tomahawk dunked, and just – and it was the most embarrassing moment for me because that's the game, right?
Yeah.
And so that was the moment where I said, okay, like, yeah, this is big boy basketball. But on the flip side, though, I had some amazing moments through my 4 years. I mean, yeah. We beat Kentucky, which was crazy. You know, I think Kentucky had Tayshaun Prince, and I think they were ranked 13th in the country at that time, and beat them down at that.
You hit the shot against Villanova.
Hit a game winner against Villanova, which is a funny story. What's cool about that, the Villanova you hear about now and see on TV, they're really good. That wasn't that Villanova, but nobody knows that. You just hear Villanova.
They were pretty good.
They were okay, but it's not the Villanova
okay.
of today. But yeah, hit that shot and beat Marquette, Dwayne Wade, and we beat out in Maui, Maryland. We beat Maryland out there. Not that they won the national championship that year.
Beat UConn.
I mean,
lost to number one team in America, Arizona, and then beat Maryland. You played three ranked teams in 3 days.
Yeah, and so, man, we can go on and on, but just my 4 years, there's nothing like it. The experiences, got to go to Australia. That was our foreign trip. We just, you know, basketball is good to me, and Dayton was always good to me.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Brooks Hall post-Dayton, both basketball and the business world, and that's all coming up as we continue. It's the Anthony Grant Show, and we're live at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Anthony Grant Show on Monday nights. Dayton on the road this week to Orlando, traveling tomorrow. And the first game is on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day at noon against Miami. Pregame coverage starts at 11 here on the home of the Flyers as Josh Pastorino will join me for those broadcasts in Orlando. Brooks Hall, also part of our entourage of covering Dayton basketball, and we talked about some of the highlights of your UD career. You came out and you had a chance to play overseas. How many different countries did in fact you play?
Man, I played in four. But even before that, it's funny. Now there's a rule. This the whole NBA. A lot of people don't know this. When people say I was close to making NBA, no, really, I can say that, which is kind of frustrating to retell the story. But coming out, now there's a rule. You got to be 1 year removed from high school. You can't go directly to the NBA. Well, that did not exist in 03. That was your, you know, LeBron came out, Carmelo, and, you know, Carmelo came from Syracuse. But point being, I had worked out. So after the draft, I was told, hey, you're on draft radars. So I went and moved out west. I lived in L.A. for like 2 months, and I went like on a West Coast NBA tour, worked out Lakers, Clippers, Portland Trailblazers, Utah, a whole lot of teams out there. Portland even said, hey, we're going to draft you second round. Well, fast forward, like I said, that's a whole nother story. Fast forward to the night of the draft, don't get drafted. There were 18 first round. There's only 30 picks first round, right? 18 of those were high school kids or international players, which was like the most in
wow.
NBA hit, you know. So guys like me who were kind of projected second round, we got pushed out of the draft. And so ended up doing the Utah Jazz Summer League, didn't work out. And that's when the Pro Tour kind of started. So I started out in the CBA before I went overseas. That was – now there's the NBA D League.
Right.
D League, then G League. Well, that didn't exist. The CBA was kind of the NBA minor leagues forever until it got messed up. And so Isaiah Thomas – the quick version of that story, Isaiah Thomas bought the CBA, tried to sell it to the NBA for four times what it was worth. NBA said, we'll just start our own. And that's where the G League came from. And so, but I was in the CBA out in Idaho, lived in Idaho, Larry, of all places, for several months. Left there and ended up playing in Mexico, playing pro in Mexico. And I saw the two sides of Mexico. I was in Hermosillo, which is deep into Mexico, 1.5 million people. Played 3 months there, and then went and finished in their Pro B League, which was in Cananea. And that was dirt roads and clay houses. And, man, I saw both sides of Mexico and Mexican mafia, and that's a whole – man, you got to bring me back on. I got stories for you,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know some of them.
Yeah, right. And it was in Mexico with Nate Green for a minute.
Yeah.
Ended up going to Austria. Played in Austria and actually got to team up with Sean Finn, one of my former college teammates, was there for a minute. I was in Spain for a minute. Larry, I bounced around. I got to see a lot. So. Okay.
And then, but now you're back home. You're back home, and you're involved in the in business. And tell fans what you're up to.
Yeah. So I'm 27 years old. And I was in Austria, and things were going well. But I had a daughter my senior year of college, and so that whole when I was telling you bounce around from city and state and country, my daughter was growing, and that overseas life, man, you're gone 9-10 months out of the season. A lot of times. And so I was just missing a lot of my daughter growing up, who's now 20, by the way. It's crazy. You're about to be. So I at 27, I retired. 26, woke up one day, said, I don't love this anymore. And just kind of, I thought I was going to play ball until I was 40 years old. But the fire was gone, and I came back retired. And I got back. I've always had in my mind, a heart to help young people. And so I got into social work. And first, I worked at juvenile detention for like a year. And then got into working for a private foster care agency. Did that for like 7 years, and just helping young people. And you know, those are some sad stories there, but just helping them get through that. And did that for 7-8 years, and then transitioned, started my own business, and did it like some sports recruiting, consulting, and helping young people try to get college scholarships and this and that. And recently got into sales, working for BSN Sports. And I never thought I'd be a sales guy, but kind of fell in my lap, and so I sell whatever you need in the sports world. We do high schools and colleges and things like that, but I still help young people on the sides. I have an AAU program, and I've been doing that for several years, so I'm still every year helping young people get basketball scholarships. So, you know, Larry, I'm doing the radio with you, yeah. And I mean, a little bit of everything, man.
And I tell the people that ask about, you know, about you and Keith and Josh and the guys that have all been filling in through the last couple of years is, you know, that you all bring something unique to the table, and that's what I love about it. And I think that you've got, you know, Josh has that coaching background that he draws upon. He played, but he also coached, and so I think sometimes he kind of thinks more like a coach than, he did as a former player. Keith played. But he's got a different player perspective than you do,
right.
And you've developed relationships with Dayton players through the years.
I mean,
I think that they just gravitate towards you. It's not like you're reaching out and saying, "Hey, let me mentor you." They come to you. What is it that makes that happen?
I wear Jordans. You know, my shoes, they like, maybe that's
so,
what it is.
So my my canvas high top Chucks is that kind of keeping them like, okay, old man, you're not going to tell me what to do.
The Chucks may be hurting you, man. You get you a pair of J's, but I go in it, and I think some of that is my background. Remember, I said I work in foster care and how that relates. I deal with young people, and so there's just a certain, I kind of know how to connect with them. And then, you know, they know my playing history. And then I go out of my way to introduce myself. And I make sure that I'm around the program so they get comfortable with me. And then the whole mentors, I don't know how that happens, but it happens every year. You know, and I connect. I'm trying to, you know, help Weaver out this year. And Lynn Greer and Kobe, they just kind of, you know, reach out to me. And I'm okay with that because I can give them that perspective. I've been through every aspect of the college journey. I've been the guy waiting your turn to get minutes as the freshman, right? I didn't, people think, oh, you played, started 4 years. Well, what people really don't remember, I didn't come in starting. Kane Dalibo started in front of me, and it wasn't until Kane hurt his back that I got the opportunity to start, and then I started the rest of the way because I made the most of my opportunity. But I wasn't pouting, and you know, so, but I can speak to that because I wanted to play. Like you said, came in Mr. Basketball, and all the expectation was that I was going to play. Well, I'm coming off the bench, but that's okay. So I can speak to those guys. I can speak to the older guys that have the pressure of leading a team. with the expectations of this is it's on you and the home playing in front of 13,000. Yeah, that's cool. Everybody thinks that looks and it is. It's awesome. We love Dayton fans, but the pressure that comes with that, it's tough. You know, there's 13,000 people screaming for you, but those 13,000 have an expectation that you play well. and so just the pressure of that. And so point being, man, I think they just know I've been there, done that. And so they just like to get my advice.
All right. Well, we're all for the better for it, Brooks, for you having worn the uniform, for having continued to be a part of the program, forever a Flyer. That certainly applies to you as much as anybody. And we appreciate hanging out here tonight, and we'll look forward to next time we sit down courtside. Do it, okay?
I'll see you soon.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up this edition of the Anthony Grant Show. Again, we're back here next Monday night. But between now and then, three games, beginning with Thursday at noon against Miami. That is the first game for the Dayton Flyers in the ESPN Events Invitational in Orlando. A noon tip-off. Pre-game coverage starts at 11 right here on the home of the Flyers. On behalf of our engineer producer here tonight and mentor himself, Chris Hartley, I'm Larry Hanskin, alongside Brooks Hall. On behalf of the coach, Anthony Grant, have a great week, everyone, and go Flyers.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.